He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the, can you believe it's Tuesday? The bad news is the three-day weekend is over. We're back to work, but it's Tuesday already. So that's not so bad. And we've got, a decent start to the market. It's all about the oil stocks today and the basic material stocks and the infrastructure stocks. In other words, the cyclicals and value stocks. Dow up 155 right now, 34,686. We've got the NASDAQ, however, is it giving up the ghost here already? The NASDAQ is up just 28 points. Growth stocks not doing well. I'm seeing some bright spots in the semiconductors, but not much else. The NASDAQ up 28 to 13,777. Wow. I knew that jackpot was out there somewhere. S&P 500 up 13 to 4217. That's closing in on a new all-time high. The small caps up 0.7%. They're having a very good day. I see a lot of value in the small caps right now. Do you? Let's see. Russell 2000 is at 2285. Crude oil is now there's your winner. There's your winner for the day. It's the energy stocks. Holy cow, the oil and gas stocks. Crude oil up $2.34 per barrel to $68.66. Gold up $2.10 to $19.07. Silver up 44 cents to $28.45. And beleaguered Bitcoin. Well, let's go to the bond market first. The bond market's at 1.64% today on the 10-year. Not a good day for the bond market. Bond market's selling off, and interest rates moving up to 1.64%. That's hurting the tech stocks. And Bitcoin is up $540, but it's at $37,190. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, Chief Investment Officer here for the branches out in the southeast here for Southport Capital. How about that? I need to record some new commercials, some new introductions. Been busy lately, you know. We'll get that worked out. Anyways, we've got a good start to the market today, and I have had a pretty good chance to go through quite a bit of what's underneath the surface of the market. It is energy stocks, number one. That's the number one sector in the market today, having a big, big day. Number two, I'm going to call basic materials like steel, aluminum, copper, chemicals, etc. The number three sector in the market, I'm probably going to call the financials. They're having a good day as interest rates are headed higher. The bond market's having a terrible day today. And I would say the surprise one here today would be China. I'm seeing good action in Alibaba, Baidu, Boyd, others like that. So I can't wait to dig in. I've just barely looked under the surface of the indexes here today, and I like what I see because where I'm positioned, it's doing well today. On the other hand, the growth stocks, last year's winners, they continue to look terrible. Really struggling. We're talking about Teladoc and Etsy and Upwork and Fiverr. These are stocks that we did very well with, made big, big gains in last year, but this is a completely different. The market did an about face. Those at the end of the parade are now leading the parade, and the baton twirlers and the trumpets are at the back of the parade here in 2021. We've had a complete turnaround in the market. Well, we finished up May. They say go away in May. I'm still here. I stayed around. I'm going to hang in there through June at least. We had not a very good May. In fact, the NASDAQ had its worst month since last October. But the Dow had a pretty good month. And as I say, the Dow's a pretty good proxy for the cyclicals, the value section of the market, while the NASDAQ is the proxy for the growth and the technology and more of the high PE stocks. The market had a really good day on Friday, and then it all fizzled out in the last couple hours of the day. A lot of people beginning their holiday weekend a little bit early, getting on the road, hooking up the boat, hooking up the travel trailer, tying the kayaks on top of the car, you know, the barbecues, all this kind of stuff that I think took over later in the day on Friday. Well, you know, it continues to be a market that is led by groups that were at the back of the pack last year. There's just no question about it. I mean, it's showing up in my leading asset classes in the market here in 2021. It's showing up in my leading sectors in the market in 2021. It's showing up in my leading indexes. And, of course, it shows up in the leading stocks here in 2021. Last year's big winners are this year's big losers. We're talking about the electric vehicle stocks. We're talking about the stay-at-home types of stocks. We're talking about the very expensive high PE, high price to sales, high price to book value stocks. Last year, it didn't seem to matter. This year, it matters a lot. In fact, that's one of the keys to the market. Well, I would say, it says traders are returning from Memorial Day with renewed optimism. Stock futures pointing higher. Okay, we're up 139 on the Dow. Inflation still is in the cards out there. A lot of people watching inflation very, very closely. And, of course, this Friday we will get the monthly non-farm payrolls report. That's always a big deal. That'll be released on Friday. That will be the big catalyst for the week. We'll see how that goes on Friday. Overall consumer sentiment holds in May. University of Michigan, that's pretty much the one I watch. Their consumer sentiment came in at 82.9 versus 83, which was expected. That's a good thing. You know, sentiment plays a big role with the consumer. When the consumer's feeling optimistic, they're spending. And when the consumer is feeling pessimistic, they can get their pockets sewed shut. You know, I knew a guy like that. You go out to dinner with him, and his pocket was sewed shut, you know. I always got stuck with the check, but, you know, that's the way it goes. Chicago PMI surges to 75.2, strongest since 1973. I almost thought about going to Chicago here today or tomorrow or the next day. Our Padres, the San Diego Padres, first place in the National League West. Fernando Tatis leading all of baseball with 16 home runs. Or I think he's tied with somebody in the American League. Are in Chicago today at Wrigley. I've never been to Wrigley Field. But the PMI comes in at 75.2. Why is that a significant number, 75.2? Because it's the strongest number since 1973. I was in high school in 1970. I was a sophomore in high school. Point Loma High, San Diego, California. Bitcoin closes out one of its worst months ever. I warned you. Don't say I didn't warn you. I just don't have a good feeling about all of this. Bitcoin fell 35% in May. And of course, if you go back to February, it was the high PE stocks that went down about 35%. I look at several ETFs that are very representative of that high growth, high PE area of the market. They lost about a third of their value in February. Now it was Bitcoin's turn, an area where there's been a lot of froth, losing 35% of its value in May. There were three 30% plus declines in 2011, but Bitcoin was in its infancy then. More recently, in 2018, the Bitcoin bear market saw two 30% plus months, okay? So it's had some big months, too. The March 2020 collapse ended up being a drop of just 25% thanks to a rebound in the second half of the month. Checking price action, Bitcoin traded in a fairly tight range throughout the weekend and is currently at about 36,000. Ethereum has managed a modest rally, currently at 2.6K. Well, when we come back, we'll do a quick little update on COVID, where we're at with vaccinations, you know, the rules that we may be looking at here. I know Wrigley Field is 60% capacity, but Padres just came from Houston Astros where they won 2 out of 3. That was 100% capacity and no mask in the crowd. I watched a few of those games on TV. This is Bill Gunderson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. The Sarasota trip coming up, June 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 3 days. I will be available with the team for appointments after the radio show each day. Clients will be meeting with Paul and Barry, who will be there. And then there will be a workshop on Wednesday, the 23rd, at the Grove. And the appointments will be at the Lakewood Ranch office. If you'd like to make a reservation for the workshop and or an appointment with the team, you can go to GundersonCapital.com, or you can also call 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Well, last year was the year of COVID, so we never got on the road at all. Joe Biden's goal, President Biden's goal, of 70% COVID vaccination by summer may be in reach. The U.S. could be on track to vaccinate at least 70% of its adults against COVID-19 by this summer, according to the survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation. Well, let's see. A lot of people, though, say they will get vaccinated only if required, and 13% say they will definitely not get a vaccination, essentially unchanged over the last several weeks, and a third are kind of a wait-and-see type of mentality. In the meantime, U.S. is taking a very close look at requiring a vaccine passport for international travel. Well, if you want to go to the Bahamas or to Europe, the European Union, as well as other countries, are looking at vaccine passports as a way to boost international travel and tourism. One potential hiccup, however, there is not one centralized vaccine passport system. Japan extends their state of emergency. Now, they've had an outbreak of COVID, but they're kind of doing it. The Olympics are coming up. You think they'll actually go ahead and do those Olympics in Japan? It looks like it. The Japanese government extends a state of emergency in Tokyo and eight other prefectures until at least June the 20th. The emergency is extended to almost a month prior to the start of the Tokyo Olympics. Boy, I remember watching the Tokyo Olympics. I don't know how old I was. I want to say that was like back in the Jim Ryan days, you know, running that mile. Remember when he fell down? He trained for 4 years, got back into the Olympics, qualified, and he fell on the first lap, gets up. He's like 2 laps behind by that. You know what? I used to really like the Olympics. I used to love the Olympics. We just don't follow them like we. I used to like track and field. Boy, they would come around to San Diego. Remember when they kept breaking the record for the mile, Sebastian Coe and and all those milers, Kip Kano, and man, those were some good, good years in track and field. And of course, Bruce Jenner, or Caitlyn Jenner in the decathlon and on the cover of Wheaties and all that. Good memories, good memories. I was a javelin thrower myself. You got to be careful throwing that javelin. Make sure everybody's out of the way. At San Diego State, I threw the javelin a little bit, you know. One guy on the team went to the Olympics. His dream was to go to the Olympics, okay? He was a hammer thrower. He would twirl that thing around on a chain, and everybody would scatter, and he'd let it go, and, you know, everybody would yell, and you'd hear a big grunt. But he ended up on a bobsled in the Winter Olympics, like the fifth man that just hangs on. Gets a medal if they come in third. ARC was the only large ETF issuer to see monthly outflows in May. Well, that's a double-edged sword for Cathie Wood because, you know, a lot of her stocks did really well just on her buying alone as she kept amassing positions in those stocks on the way up. And that gave those stocks a lot of impetus underneath them. Well, It's going to work the same on the way down. If she starts getting redemptions, I'm telling you, she's in the stocks that worked last year for the most part, and they're just not working this year, and I think it's going to get worse. That's just me. And if she starts getting redemptions on some of these kind of thinly traded stocks, to be honest with you, some of them, there's going to be heavy pressure on those individual stocks. Looking back over a one-month time frame, investors can see that only one of the top 15 ETF issuers, according to AUM, had net outflows. Cathie Wood's ARK Invest is the only issuer that has seen a net redemption in fund flows from the ETFs they offer. ARK is the 13th largest issuer with assets under management north of $41 billion, but she had $62 billion. Okay, $20 billion has gone up in smoke. She's recently witnessed net redemptions of $2.5 billion and, of course, a loss of about $20 billion over the last month. China no longer in charge as raw materials remain on an upward path, says Goldman Sachs. Well, China took extreme measures last week to try to nip this big rise in commodities in the bud, because you know what? They're the biggest consumer of commodities in the world, and these rising prices in commodities is hurting them. And they've tried everything they can to try to put a lid on commodity prices, and so far, nothing seems to work. I'm just looking today at the basic material stocks, Alcoa having a good day, Albemarle having a good day. It's a chemical company. BHP, which is a massive mining company, having a good day. Celanese, which is a chemical company, having a very good day. China's attempt to raise in rising commodity prices, therefore, are likely to fail, meaning the pullback in commodities after China's warning about speculation is only temporary and a clear buying opportunity. That's according to the Goldman Sachs team led by Jeff Curry. China's tried to push down prices on oil, copper, and soybeans, and they're not having much luck. The immediate reason for the greater U.S. pricing is the large fiscal stimulus that is absent in China. China no longer benefits as much from its competitive advantage in low-cost labor and global trade. Goldman Sachs also reiterates its super bullish stance on copper, which it sees at the start of a multi-year bull market. Well, I mean, copper, you're thinking Freeport-McMoRan, FCX, and other copper producers. I am bullish, too. Earlier this year, Goldman predicted copper prices would hit $15,000 a ton. How would you like to have a ton of copper dropped in your driveway by 2025? Well, inflation nearing a 20-year high. What are the areas of the market that benefit from inflation? All right, that's what you want. You want to be on the sunny side of the street, not on the dark side of the street. This is Bill Gunnarsson. This is the Best Stocks Now show. We'll be right back. Here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now show. It's Tuesday already. Doggone it, we'll be at, I'll be writing a newsletter in just two more days. It seems like I just sent it out. Well, the Dow is up 132 right now to 34,660. It's a value rally. It's a cyclical rally. It's the oil and gas stocks. It's the ag stocks. It's the infrastructure stocks, and it's the basic material stocks, and the financials, okay? What did I leave out of that equation? The cloud stocks, the electric vehicle stocks, the chip stocks. There's a few chip stocks working, but not much. The online retailers, all this stuff, the work-from-home stocks, everything that worked last year is not working this year. But, you know, I think there's a lot of people out there that's all they know is the tech stocks. They never heard of a fertilizer stock. Are you kidding me? Or an aluminum stock, or a chemical stock, or a company that makes seeds for agriculture or agricultural equipment. Well, you better learn about those sectors in the market. The app is full. It's got 6,000 stocks almost in it these days at beststocksnowapp.com. That's all you do. You find a leading sector, you click on the sector, and there's your leading stocks within that sector based on valuation and momentum. Okay. It's true that we are in an inflationary cycle. I truly believe that. And not only that, we're coming back from a shutdown in the economy for about a year, and we're short on supplies. We're short on the supply chain and materials and stuff, and that's driving prices higher. So, Barron's, over the weekend, they touted 10 ways to cash in on today's shortages in materials and labor. And I'm in agreement with almost every stock they mention. Number one, Oshkosh. Well, OSK, which makes chemical or commercial, fire, emergency, military trucks, truck bodies, crane components. They just got a big contract with the U.S. Post Office for electric vehicles. Oshkosh is hitting new highs. It's definitely a best stock now. XPO Logistics. How do you catch up with the supply chain? You got to keep it moving. You got to keep the line moving, right? XPO Logistics, a leading trucking company. How about Old Dominion Freight Lines? ODFL, another one that keeps that supply chain moving. SAIA, another trucking company. Caterpillar, CAT, these are all from Barron's over the weekend. I agree with Barron's. Deere, DE. I know, it's just not as exciting as Nikola or Tesla or Workhorse or Lordstown Motors. Really, Deere? Well, nothing runs like a deer. Rockwell, Honeywell, Honeydew, WCC. What's that one? Let's see. I know that symbol, but I haven't looked at that. Wesco International distributes industrial and electrical construction, maintenance, repairs, and operating supplies. So there's their 10, and I am in agreement with them all. It just shows you how the flavors of leadership in the market have completely changed here in 2021. We've gone from fancy chocolate with all kinds of different fillings and everything to just plain vanilla. China eases their birth policy further. Now you can have three kids in China. Well, you know, it's a problem. that a shrinking population is not good for your economy. Japan had the same issue. They didn't have enough young people to support the old people. China's in a race against time. Again, the world's second largest economy, it may already be in an irreversible population decline before it accumulates the household wealth of the G7 nations. Well, China has eased the birth limits, but couples have been put off by the high cost of living, especially in the cities. Cramped housing. Many people share apartments with their parents in China. And career choices. Job discrimination faced by mothers. Well, that is a big, big demographic issue. Now, what about the United States of America? You know, when your population declines, that is not good for your economy. Births in 2020 fell for the sixth consecutive year to the lowest level since 1979, according to data from our friends at the CDC. And the figures probably have little to do with the pandemic. Most babies were conceived beforehand. Total fertility rates and general fertility rates have also declined by 4%. Since 2019, the United States is presently moving below replacement fertility levels, which is not good for the economy, says Adina Besnitsky, a sociology professor at University of San Diego. Well, that's the home of Chris Bryant. Chris Bryant, and let's not forget that Jim Harbaugh was the coach there, the football team, before he went on to Stanford and before he went on to the San Francisco 49ers. White House gives Republicans a week to show infrastructure progress. Well, it sounds like the two sides are pretty far apart. The White House started at $2.3 trillion, while the Senate Republicans began at $600 billion. That's $1.7 trillion. That's a lot of zeros. That's a big gap to close. Democrats then countered with a $1.7 trillion offer. GOP upped its price to $926 billion. The two sides also disagree on how to pay for the package. Republicans want to tap repurposed unspent funds from the $1.9 trillion COVID relief law from earlier this year, as well as user fees on electric vehicles. The Biden administration has meanwhile proposed funding the measure by raising the corporate tax rate to 28% from 21%. And of course, I have factored that in. I have to look at two different scenarios as far as my target price. Now, having said that, this has been a phenomenal earnings season. It's all wrapped up now. It's probably been the best earnings season I've seen in the last decade. I think it was because of all the pent-up demand and the economy opening up so quickly, and that just really boosted the earnings, the profit margins of companies, despite labor shortages in a lot of industries. Therefore, my target prices for the next couple of years on the S&P 500, I adjusted them in this week's newsletter. You might want to have a look at where they're at right now. That, of all the indicators on the market, Bollinger Bands, the McClellan Oscillator, moving averages, you can go on and on and on with all of the different indicators that have been invented to try to predict the next move of the market. Well, I say emphatically, and more emphatically than ever, that the best indicator for the market are earnings expectations. The market trades on earnings expectations. What are those earnings expectations? We pretty much know what's going to happen here in 2021. We're almost halfway through the year. But now we've got some pretty solid estimates for next year, 2022, and we're getting a look into 2023 for the first time. That is the best indicator in the market. You can get my newsletter and see where those expectations are right now and what kind of target price. And, of course, I update that every single week. You can go to my newsletter or go to my website at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com to get this week's newsletter. Well, here comes another SPAC. As if we don't have enough SPACs. Celebrity investor. Is he a celebrity? John Nigerian. Okay, well, he's the guy at the ponytail. I think he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at one point in time. Now he's a very big options kind of guy, him and his brother. Celebrity investor John Nigerian, former U.S. Secretary of Energy Bill Richardson. I think he's New Mexico. And other business and green energy experts are launching a $250 million IPO for a new SPAC called Clean Tech Acquisition Corp. Well, I'm not real hot on SPACs. Ponytail or no ponytail. Actually, he was a Chicago Bears linebacker. What does he know about SPACs? I don't know. I just don't like SPACs. That's it. No matter who the sponsor is. Well, we'll be right back with a couple of good ideas for you here, all right? This is Bill Gunderson. It's the Best Stocks Now show.
You got to go where you want to go.
And welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show. Boy, the S&P has given up the ghost here. It's up 73 cents. The NASDAQ is now down 45 points as the growth stocks melting as interest rates rise. The Dow, however, holding on to a 100-point gain with the oil stocks and the basic material stocks and the financials to some extent leading the way. So with all this talk of, you know, the hottest inflation in many years, you know, a shortage of basic material supply chain right now, I'm going to feature a stock that's right smack dab in the middle of it all. And we do own it. It's headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix, Arizona. In fact, I've driven by. I've seen their headquarters. I think it's downtown or just outside of downtown. Freeport. MacMoran, Freeport, MacMoran, symbol FCX. This is one of the largest mining companies in the world. They're engaged in exploration and development of copper, gold, silver, molybdenum mines in Indonesia and North and South America. A lot of copper in Arizona, don't forget. Freeport MacMoran is a $64 billion market cap company. They also are a dividend payer. That's been a good thing here in 2021. Dividends are preferred. Gentlemen prefer dividends. So do investors here in 2021. The dividend stocks have actually trailed the market for many years, in recent years, as it's been all about the growth stocks, okay? Well, the dividend stocks are now back in vogue, and they are doing better, much better than the non-dividend stocks. And let's not forget, most dividend-paying stocks are in the basic material sector, the financial sector, the banking sector, agricultural, oil and gas, etc., which are the sectors that are in favor in 2021. Now, you can fight the tape all you want with Fiverr and Upwork and Etsy and Teladoc and all the big winners from last year. But this is 2021. That was 2020. Freeport MacMoran, price to sales, which I think is a pretty important factor this year. It's a little on the high side, 3.85. But a lot of the mining companies tend to trade at higher price to sales ratios. The valuation, on the other hand, is quite attractive. Freeport is expected to make about, I show, $3.49 for next year, $3.49, with the stock currently trading at $43.65. That means the forward P.E. is in the low teens. I like forward P.E.s this year, 2021, in the low teens. Forward PE on Freeport, FCX, 12 times forward earnings. Now, we're going to compare that with the expected five-year growth rate per year of FCX. That checks in at 18% per year. That's what the analyst consensus estimate is. 18% per year over the next 5 years. The world needs commodities. That gives a peg ratio. I like it around one in this kind of a market with high interest rates moving up. They're still relatively low, but they're moving up. That makes a big difference. And inflation back into the picture here. And an economy that's all of a sudden starting up big time again. And there's a shortage and a lack of supplies. Lack of waitresses and waiters and cooks and copper and molybdenum. Freeport MacMoran, I have a target price of $85 per share. It's currently trading at $44 per share. That's a five-year target price. No guarantees that it will get there. That's based on expectations, and, of course, the company has to meet those expectations. FCX is currently ranked at number 35 out of 5,816. Number 35 out of 5,816 in the Best Stocks Now app. That's pretty good. And it is a large position here at Gunderson Capital Management, both in our large cap growth portfolio and in our dividend and growth portfolio. So we'll make FCX our featured stock of the day. All right. Now, you don't have to be in Sarasota to meet with the advisors here at Southport Capital and the old Gunderson Capital. We're still the same. We still have the same crew. We didn't lose one person. I think we only lost a couple of clients, you know, hundreds of clients all across the country decided to come over with us. I think that speaks volumes. And my guys ready to talk to you. We do Zoom appointments. If you'd like to meet face-to-face, we have an office now, Lakewood Ranch in Sarasota. And we're coming your way, June 22nd, June 23rd, 24th, as we get back on the road. And I think probably, I got to look, I'm going to go to the Padre game in Atlanta and spend a few days there, and I may set up some appointments. Why not? Well, I'm in Atlanta. And then I think definitely after that it's going to be Minneapolis. We'll head to Minneapolis and have some fun in Minneapolis. Oh, we have a lot of fun. Well, we have a lot of fun in Sarasota. I have a lot of fun every day here. I love this business. I love my job. If you'd like to put me and my team to work for you, we're active. Okay? We're not stuck in high-growth tech stocks. When the whole world has revolved, if you don't revolve with it, you're on the dark side, man. You're on the dark side of the moon. That's not a good place to be, as Pink Floyd used to say. You got to evolve and revolve with the world as the world turns. Remember that? Wasn't that a soap opera back in the 60s, probably? Well, the world has turned. I mean, it's 180 here as far as sector rotation. Valuation, the types of companies that are in vogue this year, leadership companies. It's a whole new world out there in 2021, and it will change again at some point in the future. That's why I believe in active, not passive management. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST. I put out a tremendous newsletter over the weekend. It has all my internal research that I go off of. You can go to my website at GundersonCapital.com to get a two-week trial to that newsletter. This is Bill Gunderson. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.